We have a very special guest speaker tonight that I am thrilled to introduce to you. Our guest speaker has served on City Council of Charlottesville. For a couple of years, he was the mayor of the city of Charlottesville. He sat on the school board of Charlottesville, but those aren't his best accomplishments. He's been married for just under 38 years. It's going to be 38 years. Four kids he raised and has eight grandchildren right now with a ninth on the way. And for the last 34 years, he has been the pastor of Mount Zion African Baptist, First African Baptist Church in Charlottesville, which is a very influential church in our city. And so I am very pleased to have our guest speaker with us. Will you welcome Dr. Alvin Edwards? By the way, he's going to preach, but before he preaches, he's going to sing us a song. Oh, he did. There you go, Pastor.
Good evening. Now, I didn't come to preach to dead people. I said, good evening.
Good evening.
Thank you very much. I'm honored and privileged to be able to come and to share with you all tonight. I'm grateful to God for the privilege and the honor. Thank the young lady for the wonderful testimony, and we bless the Lord for that. I'm here tonight to share a word. I was asked about to preach about the arrest of Jesus, but that's not where my mind went to. And so I want to invite your attention to the first book of Psalms. I want to thank the Munros from Mount Zion First African Baptist Church. Would y'all please stand and raise your hand? Thank them for coming with me tonight. One time, if you invite us, we'll bring our choir. We're grateful for the music. Amen. And but if you have your Bibles, first Psalm number 1. Here's what the King James Translation says. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The third verse, and he shall be like a tree. I want to talk tonight about the gospel according to the tree. The gospel according to the tree. There's a poem written by Joyce Kilmer entitled Trees. And it goes like this. It says, I think that I shall never see a poem lovely as a tree. And it goes on to say, but it concludes this way, but poems are made by fools like me, but only God makes a tree. This particular psalm is ascribed to David. David, as many of you know, was the second king of Israel. It's one of my favorite psalms because David was an interesting character in the Bible. David, like all of us, has issues. And it's interesting that he writes this because in this, he says to us, he describes to us what a godly person is really like. He says, first of all, that a godly person has some issues. He gives us a comparison between choice and chance, between conduct and character, between the righteous and the unrighteous. But he says to us, blessed is the man. And the first thing he suggests to us is that if a person is going to be happy, that there are some things you ought not do. He says the first thing is that a godly person does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. And so what you might well say, well, preacher, what does that mean? Well, first of all, it says to us that you ought not listen to ungodly advice. Sometimes people get advice from some of the worst places I can think of. Usually they'll get it from barbershops and beauty parlors. And it's interesting that sometimes in that people will bring it right into the church. And they will act as though it is the gospel. And so he says that we must refrain from ungodly counsel. I was glad to hear tonight that he talked about bringing Christian counselors and Christian psychologists. And the reason I say that is because I want to know what is God saying to you about my mental stability as well as my mental health. And you need to know and get good, sound, biblical advice. And one of the things I have people come to me sometimes and say, well, Pastor, I know what the Bible says, but what do you say? And I say what the Bible says. I said, you want me to justify your wrong, and I want you to know I'm not going to hell for telling you for what's not right. And so I say to them that I want to make sure that I tell you what thus saith the Lord. But the second thing he says to us, he talks about ungodly conduct. And it's interesting that when it comes to ungodly conduct, he says, nor standeth in the way of sinners. Sometimes we have a tendency to think that, well, maybe he means that you lay prostrate in front of someone who's trying to come down the aisle and give their life to Christ. That's not what he's talking about. He's not talking about trying to restrain someone from coming to the altar. That's not what he's talking about. But what he's talking about is that people see your life and they look at where you are and they wonder, should they go where you worship? And they say, I'm not going there because it hasn't done you any good. And they will say, well, that is what you call standing in the way of sinners. You don't know this, but people always watch what you do and watch what you say. And a lot of times it's our lives that hinder people from coming to the Lord. Sometimes we get angry and we want to give people a piece of our mind, and I hope that's not all you have is a piece. But you have to remember that you have to live and do as the Lord would have you to do. That's why it says in Matthew, pray for those who despitefully use you and say all manner of evil about you. You cannot outcuss the cusser. You've got to respond in a way that reflects the presence of God in your life. It doesn't matter where you are. You may be in the store. You may be at a football game, basketball game, or wherever. But wherever you go, you need to know that you are on stage and somebody is watching you and your life and how you behave and how you carry yourself, because it is so critical in this day and time that we live in that our character reflects the presence of Jesus Christ everywhere. And so, he says to us next, he talks about ungodly companions. You need to be careful about who you hang with. He said, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. The Revised Standard Version says, scoffers. And they are people who sit around and who scheme and conspire to do wrong. And so he says to us, you need to be careful who you hang around. And it was just good to hear you all talk about being in community, because the truth of the matter is all of us got issues and we need to be in a community where people can help us to work through our issues so that you can be somebody's brother and somebody's sister and tell them how you work through your issues, and in the process of helping them, they'll help somebody else. And I tell people all the time that what's wrong with a lot of us, we keep company with the wrong folks. And so you need to be careful about the companions who you marry. You need to be careful with the folks you hang and spend all your time with. And I can confess tonight, there are some preachers I don't want to be around because I don't like their lifestyle. And I'm not saying I'm all that in a bag of chips. I got issues. I got stuff I have to work on. But there's some people I don't want to hang around because I don't believe they're good companions for me to be around. They don't help my walk with God. And so as a result, I don't want to be around them. But then the psalmist comes back and he says to us, he says, but the godly person is properly positioned, providentially planted, and he prospers providentially. Listen to what the psalmist says. He said, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on it doth he meditate day and night. In other words, a godly person is a principled person. The godly person rejects the world's philosophy and principles, and he meditates on God's word day and night. Not your horoscope, not your palm reader, not using a prayer cloth or buying a blessed nail, a blessed handkerchief, but I'm talking about looking and studying the word of God, the law of the Lord. But then the psalmist gets to what I want to go to, and I'm having to cut across this because I'm trying to be sensitive to your time. He says to us, "And but a godly person shall be like a tree." Now, trees grow two ways. The wind can take a spore and drop it in a ground, and it falls to the ground, and a tree grows up, can grow up just anywhere. But a person who plants a tree, they will plant a tree to beautify the landscape. They will plant a tree to beautify, to provide shade. They'll plant a tree to gather fruit. But it is a tree that has purpose. And God says to us that I have a purpose for your life. The godly man, the godly woman has purpose that, and God wants to get the potential out of your life. But if you don't make yourself available to him, if you don't abide by his laws, he really can't get the best out of you. But then what really caught my attention are the objects that is the object that David compared the godly person to. And I had to ask myself this question: why did David compare a godly person to a tree? I mean, after all, David was a shepherd boy and who tended sheep, and I wondered, why would he compare a godly person to a tree? I mean, there were a lot of other things that he could have compared the godly person to, but he said a tree. He saw many animals, he saw inanimate objects, but he used a tree. He saw streams of water, but he says a tree. I'm sure he slept by fires at nighttime, but he says a tree. And if you would allow me to use my sanctified imagination for a few more minutes, I want to interview or ask David a few questions. After all, would have to call David to the stand. I said, David, you're being a shepherd boy. I thought you would have made it a little bit more germane. You know, like you did in the 23rd Psalm when he says, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. I wanted to know, David, why didn't you compare the godly person to the grass? He said, if David was here, he'd say to us, he said, the reason I did not compare the godly person to the grass is because Isaiah declares that the grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of God shall remain, and the godly person can't be like that. He shall be like a tree. He said, after all, grass and flowers are not very permanent, and they don't last too long, and the godly person can't be like that. He shall be like a tree. Well, then I thought again to myself. I said, David, why didn't you compare the godly person to the wind? You know something about God's work with wind, how he fanned a highway through the Red Sea and the Jordan River. You know how God wrapped himself in a whirlwind and talked with Job. Why didn't you compare the godly person to the wind? David said, well, you see, you don't know where the wind is coming from, and you don't know where the wind is going to, and a godly person can't be like that. He shall be like a tree. I said, okay, David, why not fire? You know about God's work with fire. You know how he talked with Moses from the burning bush. You know how he led the Israelites by night by a pillar of fire. You know how he danced with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in a fire. You know how God reversed the laws of nature and rained fire on top of Mount Carmel. Why didn't you compare the godly person to a fire? He said, well, you see, Alvin, he said, fire is a dangerous entity. Fire will not only destroy the object of the arsonist, it will destroy the arsonist as well. Fire will turn mud hard as bricks, but it'll make steel run like water. And the godly person can't be like that. He shall be like a tree. I said, David, one more thing. Why didn't you liken him to water? You know about God's work with water. You said God led you beside the still waters. You know how he used water to clean up the whole earth. Why not liken the godly person to the water? He said, well, Alvin, water is too unstable. He said, if you pour water in a bucket, it'll take the shape of a bucket. If you pour it in a vase or a vase, it'll take the shape of a vase or a vase. If you pour it on a plate, it'll take the shape of a plate. And if you pour it on the ground, it'll run everywhere. And the godly person can't be like that. He shall be like a tree. I said, okay, David. Tell me why did you compare the godly person to the tree? He said, well, first of all, Alvin, because trees live together peacefully. When I drive up and down the highway, I've never heard the oak talking about the birch. I've never seen an orange tree get jealous of an apple tree. And I said to me, and what I discovered is that what's wrong with some of us Christian folks is that we complain, we fight about any and everything. We will stop speaking to each other. And in some churches, we'll make a maze and go on the other side of the church to avoid speaking to somebody on this side. But what you've got to understand is that God wants us to be together as his people and as his children. And he wants us to act like and walk right and talk right. And but most of all, he wants us to learn how to live together peacefully. But then secondly, David said, trees give service. They give service. I remember the disciples came up with what I call the Ali syndrome, arguing about who is the greatest. And Jesus said to them, if you want to be great, let me put it in the right perspective for you. He who wants to be the greatest among you, let him first become your servant. The problem is today we live in a day of time when we would rather be served than to give service. Jesus says, I came to serve. Everything he did was to help someone. And I don't know about you, but my life, my life story song is this. If I can help somebody as I pass along, if I can show somebody they are traveling wrong, if I can cheer somebody with the word of song, then my living shall not be in vain. Every now and then when I travel, I used to work at a bookstore at the Hampton Pastors Conference. And a friend of mine who happened to know that I was the mayor was coming through line and said to me, Mr. Mayor, how you doing? I said, I'm fine. How you doing? And so another acquaintance of mine said to me, he said, what did he call you? I said, mayor. He said, why did he call you mayor? Because I'm the mayor. He said, well, if you're the mayor, why are you working back there? Because I want to. I said, when I left, I was the mayor. When I get back, I'm going to be the mayor. And it takes nothing away from me to serve people like you, you, and you, because I'm doing what I believe God has given me to do, and that is to serve. If you've ever come to a black church, you would discover this, that when it's time to eat, everybody runs. But when it comes time to clean up, everybody disappear. They would rather be served than to give service. And if it's one thing we as believers need to understand, need to remember, need to practice as a part of our character, it is to learn to serve. But then the tree also will serve anywhere. A tree will serve in the front yard. It'll serve in the backyard. It'll serve on the side of a house. And if you plant one, it'll serve over an outhouse. Y'all may not know what that is. But it'll serve anywhere. And one of the things we have got to remember, that you don't have to have a title. You don't have to have a position. You got to be willing to serve, because God has enabled and empowered you to work and to serve anywhere. But then finally, the tree says, use me until you use me up. The tree says, I'll take on your carbon dioxide and give you oxygen. Use me. The tree said, if you're having problems walking in your life, the tree said, use me and I'll become crutches for you. The tree said, if you need a floor to walk on, use me and I'll be a floor for you. If you need a roof over your head, the tree said, use me and I'll be a roof over your head. The tree will be whatever you need to be. If you get cold at night, the tree says, set fire to me and I'll warm your body. The tree says, take my leaves and process them and I'll be fertilizer. Take my roots and I'll become medicine for you. The tree says, use me until you use me up. And that is what a godly person is supposed to say to God. Use me until you use me up. I didn't come here to rust out in life. I came to wear out. And the person who I want to wear me out is the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why I sing the words of this song. Sometimes I says, take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Take my moments and my days. Let them flow in ceaseless praise. Let them flow in ceaseless praise. Take my voice and let me sing. Always only for my King. Take my will and make it thine. It shall no be no longer mine. Take my heart. It is thine own. You shall be mine. It shall be thy royal throne. The tree, the gospel according to tree, is that you've got to make yourself available to him. And the reason you make yourself available to him is because you want to make a difference in somebody's life. And the reason you want to make a difference in somebody's life is because he made a difference in you, 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 and you. And when somebody blesses you, you learn to bless them back by saying to the Lord Jesus Christ, use me until you use me up. Let us pray. God, our Father, we thank you for what your word teaches us. I pray that you help us to hide your word in our hearts so that we might not sin against thee. Let us leave here differently than the way in which we arrived. Let us be your servants so that we can serve anywhere and not rust out, Lord, but to wear out. In Jesus' name, we do pray, and for his sake. And the people of God said, amen.
Lord, that is our prayer tonight. Make us like a tree and use us up for thee. Lord, would you make this fellowship a fellowship that is like the tree planted by streams of water, that is always fruitful, that is deep in your word, and that lives fruitful lives. Lord, that is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, may God bless you and keep you. May he make his face shine upon you. May he be gracious to you and give you peace. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Have a wonderful week, and we'll see you next Monday. God bless you.